You're listening to Vegan and Vibrant, a podcast featuring interviews with inspiring vegans from all walks of life. We hear a lot about vegans' experiences with physical health, but what about how they stay strong mentally, emotionally, and spiritually? I'm Valerie Martin, aka Val the Vegan Therapist, and I'll be your host as we explore the intersection of veganism, justice, and internal well-being with our guests every other week. Whether you're vegan or just veg curious, thanks so much for being here. Before we jump in, I wanted to make sure to tell you about my free guide, a response cheat sheet for hard conversations about veganism. Calling on my 10 years of experience as a therapist, helping people learn how to navigate difficult emotions and conversations, and 4 years as an ethical vegan, I've created this cheat sheet guide of scripts to offer you examples for how to respond as effectively as possible in challenging moments. This guide will help you talk about veganism in a way that strengthens both your relationship and your message. Download it now over at valthevegantherapist.com/response-cheat-sheet. And now let's get into the episode. Well, hello there, friends. Welcome back to Vegan and Vibrant, episode number 2. So I'll let you in on a little behind the scenes action. If you haven't listened to my previous podcasts, you might not know that I often love to record while I'm walking outdoors. And I usually don't do that for interviews, mostly for Wi-Fi reasons. But when I'm just recording an intro or solo episode, I love doing so while I'm walking outside. And you can probably hear some of the critter sounds too, and some leaves crunching under my feet. So I just love to bring that experience to you. And I know I feel most aligned when I'm outdoors. So that's what I love to share with you. I am super excited for y'all to hear this interview with Kendall Duffy. I discovered this awesome new restaurant, Deep Sea Vegan, here in Nashville a few months ago. Unfortunately, I wish I had discovered them earlier because they've been doing pop-ups for about a year. But I am so glad to have discovered them. It is now absolutely one of my favorite vegan restaurants, period. I always used to love the, what I no longer call seafood. I loved to eat marine animals. And so having a delicious alternative for that has been such a joy as a foodie. And as you'll hear in the interview, Deep Sea Vegan does more than just that type of cuisine. But let me tell you a little bit about Kendall because he's also a lot more than a chef, and then we'll jump into the interview. Kendall Duffy founded Deep Sea Vegan out of his love for scuba diving and cooking. As a certified advanced deep sea scuba diver and a vegan chef taught by his mother, Kendall has the best of both worlds in the kitchen as a culinary certified chef with Southern home-taught experience to boot. Deep Sea Vegan is a Black-owned, family-owned business. Kendall is the founder, CEO, and head chef. Calvis Duffy, his twin, by the way, is the managing partner and co-owner. Jeremy Gooden is the operations manager, and Michelle Duffy, their sister, is a partner. Kendall has created a unique brand of vegan food with custom recipes that are all themed after scuba diving, the ocean, and the beach. Most people find it hard to believe the food is actually vegan. As a vegan himself, Kendall wanted to continue eating great tasting food and took on the challenge of creating some extremely delicious plant-based food that quickly took his family and friends by storm. He came up with the concept for this vegan pop-up restaurant to share this extremely delicious plant-based food with the world. So you can find, if you are in Nashville, you can find Deep Sea Vegan in East Nashville at the Hunter's Station Food Hall every other weekend. If you're not here, you definitely need to come to Deep Sea Vegan, align your trip at a time that you know they're going to be open. It is that good. And you can find Kendall on Instagram at Deep Sea Vegan. You can also find Kendall and his twin brother Calvis's R&B group Cloud 9, that's Cloud with a K, 9, on Instagram. And I will tell you that I finally listened to their new single, which you'll hear us chat about, just before recording this intro. And I'm like, okay, I am going to be listening to this on loop today because it's just that the energy is so good. You guys have to go listen to 21 Days. You can find it on Spotify or wherever you get your digital music. And Kendall and Calvis also, with their sister Michelle, have a marketing group called D3 Entertainment. It's at D3E Group on Instagram. You'll hear all about all these exciting, awesome things in the interview. And of course, all of these links will be available in the show notes for this episode at my website, valthevegantherapist.com. I would love to hear what you think of this episode. So just shoot me a DM, send me an email, send me a carrier pigeon, whatever. Would love to hear from you. Let's get into this conversation with Kendall Duffy. Kendall, thank you so much for being here. I'm so glad to be talking with you. I know that you've just heard me rave a lot about your food, and it's just such a wonderful addition to the Nashville vegan community. And I know you guys also visit other locations as well. I'll have, you know, shared more about that in the intro before this, but Deep Sea Vegan is my favorite food discovery of 2020.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So one question I'm asking every guest is, what is your favorite vegan meal? And it could be of all time, or it could be just the favorite that you've had recently.
I would say one of my favorite, because I'm a vegan foodie, so it's hard to just yeah. say, but one of my favorites is New Orleans style cuisine. There's a place in New Orleans, a vegan restaurant called Sweet Soul Food, and they have some amazing food, in particular the vegan jambalaya. And their cornbread dressing is so good. And they have an array of vegan ice creams and vegan bread pudding. And so I would say that the vegan New Orleans style cuisine is somewhere on the higher echelon of my favorite meals. Uh-huh. Again, I'm a foodie, so I like so many different things. But that would definitely be one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. I've only been to New Orleans once since being vegan, and the food was so good. I don't even remember all the places we ate at, but I'm sure that, you know, at least 2 or 3 years later now, I'm sure there's a lot more. And oh, vegan beignets, all the things.
Yes, yes.
Very cool. So you've been vegan for 3 years, and did you and your brother go vegan at the same time, or what did that process look like?
Well, yeah, I've been vegan for 3 years. And actually my twin brother is not vegan. He's vegetarian.
Oh, gotcha.
However, he does eat vegan when he's obviously around me or when he's at the business. But I'm strict vegan. Cool. The second part of your question was?
Yeah. Just curious, kind of like what brought you there to that place?
Sure. So for me, it was all about health and wellness. About 8 or 9 years ago or so, I was diagnosed with high cholesterol and high blood pressure to the point that it was very much affecting my overall health and wellness. My doctor wanted to put me on medication because she said it was so high that it was borderline heart attack risk. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, I became very concerned. My doctor also informed me that cholesterol only enters our body through animals and animal byproducts, which I didn't know at that time. So after doing a lot of research and realizing that was definitely a fact, I was like, you know what? I don't want to go down the road of medications and things of that nature. I know that food is really meant to heal us, so I can find a way to correct that. And since cholesterol only enters our body through animals and animal byproducts, well, the obvious no-brainer is take animals and animal byproducts out of your body, out of your diet, and your cholesterol will level out, which mine did.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. And it's actually, I'm like pleasantly surprised to hear that coming from a medical professional, because as I'm sure you're also aware, it's not that way most of the time,
right.
Because of all the research that says otherwise, that's being, you know, funded by meat and dairy groups and all of that whole situation. So that's pretty amazing. It makes me wonder, like, is your doctor also vegan, or was it just something that she was like, hey, this is what the science says?
Yeah, she's not. But I think when I told her that I did not want to go on medication, and I think when she saw how adamant I was about that. But then also knowing as a medical professional how serious my condition was, I think she felt a certain moral obligation to let me know some options, mm-hmm. because I think she just felt my passion for not wanting to go down the road of taking medications.
Sure. And was it a challenging transition for you? I know it's different for everybody.
Honestly, it wasn't. I thought it was going to be. I think because I was so concerned about my health that I knew I had to do something quickly. Secondarily, because, you know, I do cook and bake. I'm a chef. I was like, you know, this is a good time for me to get creative. And in that process of getting creative and figuring out things to eat, because I love to enjoy food, I think most people do, is how the early conception of Deep Sea Vegan started, by just me learning about different plants and flowers and vegetables and figuring out some of the tricks that I've always done with other food, how to do it with plants and flowers and vegetables.
Yeah. And you figured out some pretty incredible things. And I wonder, like, what's the connection? So the deep sea obviously refers to, like, these are foods that are similar to what we might have referred to as seafood, right? Mm-hmm. But then you're also a scuba diver. So it seems like you're really passionate about the ocean. How long have you been into that?
Well, I've been diving for almost 10 years. I've been certified for 5 years. I'm now advanced certification and also nitrox, which is, I guess the layman terms would be breathing a higher blend of oxygen so that I can dive deeper and stay down longer. But the play on words with deep sea vegan is actually a play on the fact that I'm a deep sea scuba diver. Yeah. And a vegan chef. So it's funny because a lot of people do automatically associate Deep Sea Vegan as being a vegan seafood place, which of course we do have mm-hmm. seafood options, but we also have, you know, burgers and tacos and other things and desserts. So the play on words was actually more so geared towards the fact that I'm a deep sea scuba diver mm-hmm. / vegan chef, but it kind of all works together. But so yes, I've been diving for a while. I love diving. I'm an avid diver. Very fond of the sea. In fact, I'm missing the sea now. I usually, pre-COVID, I used to get about 12 to 15 dives per year minimum. This year, I've gotten about 4 or 5, obviously because of COVID. But I'm trying to schedule a couple of more before the end of the year. The good thing about diving in South Florida, which is where I go often, is that even as late as November and December, the ocean temperature is always around 78 to 79 degrees. Top to bottom, which is nice. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I would get so cold if it were colder than that. yeah. And this may not have been on your radar initially with veganism, but I'm sure it's like a lot of vegans, they come to it through any, you know, like back door, front door, side door, whatever door you come in, you end up getting exposed to a lot more information about all the reasons why it's really a very like healthy lifestyle, compassionate lifestyle, all of that. And one of those things is with climate change, like protecting the coral reef and the oceans, like that's one of the, or if not the most impactful thing that we can do as an individual level, right?
Sure. Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. I recently watched a documentary called Chasing Coral. There's a couple of marine biologists that I have followed, and learning more and more about the ocean and how it plays such an intricate part in the world at large, from climate change to weather, our daily weather patterns, et cetera, even understanding, you know, what causes high tide and low tide and waves, and which is basically the gravitational pull of the Earth against the sun and the moon. And when the sun and the moon reach a certain point in the day, there's a certain pull which creates like a bulge on the Earth. And because of that bulge, we have what's known as a high tide and a low tide. But the reefs are so important to the ecosystem down below, which affects everything above the sea level. So, and the more that I've learned about that, Val, the more passionate I become to share information with people about the importance of the ocean, the beauty of the ocean, the mysteries of the ocean. And it's such an amazing world. I always tell people that The world is 75% water. So if you're not diving, you're not getting all the world has to offer.
Yeah. Well, I always was scared of the ocean growing up. And so I've done some snorkeling. I've not yet dived. So maybe that's in my future sometime, but it's funny because it's just sort of like what fell under that category of the more other something is, the more that we can just like kind of delude ourselves into thinking we're not connected to it. It's not a part of me. I don't need to care about its well-being. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, sure. People like going to the beach, but like, why would I care about the ocean? I don't want to go scuba diving. But like you said, it's all so interconnected with our entire planetary well-being.
Absolutely.
And there are so many amazing creatures. Like I used to kind of justify eating marine animals because I was like, well, they're like aliens. They don't, you know, like I, okay, a cow, a pig, like I can see how they're kind of like me. Like we share a lot of DNA, but sure. You know, fish or whatever. And so learning about a lot of the research that's been done in the last, you know, 10, 15 years around marine life and their social emotional, their whole lives, it's just very, very fascinating. So it's like, yeah, we need just more proximity and more information sometimes to learn just how interconnected we all are.
Absolutely. Very well put.
Mm. So you started feeling better physically when you went vegan, started Absolutely. Cooking up some delicious food. And then there's sort of like, you know, the piece that we'll explore a little bit more here is the internal part of it. And I'm just so interested because I certainly don't want to come at it from an angle of like, you know, veganism is the solution to everything. Like there's a lot of complexity and it's not to say that everyone is going to notice like feeling better emotionally, mentally, spiritually, whatever. But I'm just curious about asking about that part of it. If you think veganism has had an impact on any of that.
Sure. Well, I think it definitely does. And I think anytime you make positive changes in your life, regardless of what they are, that you will, if not immediately, you will eventually reap some benefits and feel benefits and see benefits. And so, and I think that holistically, when we start to see benefits in our lifestyle, then subconsciously and mentally, we start to perform better in other areas of our life because it all connects and it's all about energy. And so when your energy is better, be it from your health, et cetera, then I believe your energy to perform in life, to function in life, to think better, to do better also connects in that same way. So for me, I look at a lot of the positive changes that I have made attributed to the initial change of becoming vegan. And again, like you said, not to say that, hey, veganism saves the world. No, but what I am saying is that when you make positive changes in your life, whatever they may be, for me, it was veganism. Those things kind of have a trickle down effect in other areas of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. You said something that I was going to come back to and then I forgot it. But yeah, I just think that, the energy, that it all kind of, it does come back to energy. And the more,
sure.
The more aligned that our energy is, the stronger that it is, the more that we're going to be able to do and produce and live more vibrantly mm-hmm. in all other areas of life. And so I think like, it's unfortunate that sort of maybe some mainstream assumptions about veganism is like, you know, if it's kind of like, oh, well, all you eat are vegetables, like raw vegetables and, you know, maybe a potato or rice, it's like, well, how are you going to have enough energy? How are you going to, you know, get any protein? And of course, what we know is that for many people, including like, I loved the film Game Changers, including elite athletes, that going plant-based and removing some of those byproducts and, you know, all of the cholesterol and all of that actually increases our energy. And one of my coaches talks about how like the three kind of primary domains that we need to dial in are energy, work, and love. Like how are we showing up in those three areas? Because we could be all about work and love, you know, all our relationships, but if our energy sucks, we're not going to be showing up well in those areas.
That's exactly right. And it's funny you mentioned about, you know, there's always been this misconception that vegans eat boring food, you know, salad and raw vegetables. And no, And that's exactly why when Deep Sea Vegan was born, the concept was to debunk that myth that you can't enjoy eating, mm-hmm. which we all do if you're vegan, and which is why our slogan is extremely delicious plant-based food. The other thing I wanted to share was in that same context, as someone posted this in one of the various vegan groups that I'm a part of, which I think is so powerful and so on point. And it simply says, when diet is wrong, medicine is of no use. When diet is correct, medicine is of no need. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important for people to understand that, you know, food was put here to fortify our bodies. And one of the fun things that I enjoy about our cuisine at Deep Sea Vegan is that I learned through research early on that there's over 80,000 edible plants and flowers that are available to us. So that gives us a lot of options, but yet people still want to eat the same dead three animals over and over: cows, chickens, and pigs. Mm. So if there's 80,000 edible plants out there, Val, I believe I have a lot of responsibility in the kitchen to figure out how to put some of those to good use. And in doing so, I've learned that a lot of these things are so nutritious for our bodies. So not only am I giving people a chance to enjoy some extremely delicious plant-based food, but I'm also fortifying them with things that they probably normally would very rarely, if ever, eat, like a pitaya cactus or a banana blossom or things of this nature that, and that's just a handful of tons. There's a lot of these edible flowers and plants that I'm still researching and aspire to play with and experiment with. So because I just believe there's so many nutrients out there that we can get through some of these things that we don't normally see. Most people, when they think of vegetables, you know, they think of the basics, you know, a potato, things in the store that you're going to get on a common everyday, you know, peppers and things like that, which are all good. But there's so many things out there, plants and vegetables, that we just don't normally see. And one good place to discover some of those things are your local Asian market and international markets. I go in there sometimes and pull up my phone and Google. I'll look and say, what is this? Okay, let me Google it. Oh, okay. Wow. Amazing. What is this? Google. Oh, wow. This is, and so I, you know, which is how I discovered the pitaya cactus, which I make ice cream with, which will be available coming up. And so there's just so many fun things you can do when you learn about all the different things that are out there that we can use to fortify and give nutrition to our bodies.
Yeah, that's amazing. Because like you said, I mean, and sure, we have these very complex, complicated bodies. And sometimes people have, you know, certain organs that don't maybe work like they're supposed to work, even if they're doing all the right things. And that can happen. And Western mm-hmm. medicine has its place. But if we think about so many things that can be prevented and balanced out with, like, instead of taking a multivitamin, like you, if you just incorporated some more variety of these like unique fruits and vegetables that the earth is producing, that's in there already in its natural form. It's just, I mean, I know this is all obvious, but it's one of those things that I think when you step back and look at it, just the awe and wonder of it, it's pretty incredible.
Well, and to add to what you just stated, Val, a lot of these vegetables and flowers and things, that's exactly where these vitamins are derived from. And when you look at medication as an example, if you read the active ingredient in 90% of most medications, it's the active ingredient is the root of some type of plant. And so when you think about that, you know, the active, which is the most important part of that healing element in that medicine, is the root of a plant, something from the ground. So, and of course, they add other compounds and drugs to those plants, the root of those plants, and give it some medical name. And a lot of the other things they add are the things that actually cause us to become addicted to other medications or need mm-hmm. other things to correct what that initial drug was prescribed for. But again, if we know the active ingredient in those things and the source of a lot of these vitamins, the actual source, the root of them, are the plants and vegetables that are out accessible to us everywhere, every day. But yet we want to look at finding, a more medicinal way of doing it through prescription drugs and as you mentioned, vitamins. And I'm by no means suggesting that you shouldn't take vitamins or that if you want to take prescription drugs, mm-hmm. I'm not suggesting you shouldn't. What I'm only suggesting is that there's options out there. And if you understand what how these things work and what they're actually made from, mm-hmm. then why not choose the root of what that is versus a byproduct of it or mm-hmm. a processed version of it?
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I'm curious about your thoughts on, it's sort of like a place where the, you know, potential, like whether you want to use the word toxins or bad stuff coming into the body and animal rights and even our own emotional mental health kind of intersect at this place of thinking of the chemicals that are running through the animals when they are in these places, not only chemicals that they're literally being ingested with, but also just the, like cortisol and stress hormones and things like that, that happen when someone is being kept in those kinds of circumstances. So then I will admit I've not like looked, I don't know how much empirical research exists on this yet. And I would imagine there's not a lot of funding for this type of research, but like how much do those things then actually impact me if I am ingesting a lot of cortisol through a pig who was scared her whole life? Wouldn't it make sense that I'm more likely to, you know, have that myself? So again, more of a thought, just kind of wondering your thoughts than expecting you to cite any research around that.
Sure. Very well put.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, would you agree with that hypothesis? Yeah.
100%. Everything you said was spot on.
Yeah. Yeah. We can't think that doesn't affect us. Again, we're all interconnected, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what are some of your, other than scuba diving, what are some of your kind of go-to practices for your own internal mental, emotional, spiritual well-being?
Well, I'm definitely a man of faith, so I do believe in prayer and meditation, and that's important to me. And that's something that has always been a very sure way of giving my life balance and keeping my life in perspective with my purpose. I also like to work out. I enjoy nature trails in particular. It's a great way to kind of get away from it all for a brief moment on the nature trail, just to connect with nature in that sense of just being out in a wooded area on a trail and breathing in fresh air and getting some cardiovascular workout. So those are some of the things that I enjoy that help to keep me aligned mentally, physically, and spiritually.
Awesome. And kind of with, you know, all of those practices, I'm sure are things that play in addition to, you know, your healthy vegan diet, play into giving you the energy to do all of the incredible things you do. So like other than, you know, you're like think of the word between amateur and professional, but you're practically a professional scuba diver. On top of being a chef, on top of being an R&B artist, on top of being a marketing strategist. So tell us a little bit about some of the other work that you do outside of Deep Sea Vegan.
Sure. Well, as you mentioned, the R&B side of things and the marketing side of things. So on the R&B side of things, my twin brother Kelvis and I, we run Deep Sea Vegan. He and I also comprise the R&B duo Cloud9, which is spelled with a K, because both of our names start with the K, Kelvis and Kendall. So it's K-L-O-U-D, the numeral 9. We have been making music for quite a while. Actually, this marks 21 years since we released our very first piece of music, which was a single that came out in 1999 in the UK. So we have a new single that just came out called 21 Days, which is a lighthearted, feel good song about repetition. And when you, like with anything that you do for 21 days, it becomes habit. And so this song just speaks of having an interaction with a particular lady. And after 21 days, I made a habit of loving her every day. And so it's just a fun, lighthearted song. It's got a nice little dance tempo. And that is the first single from the forthcoming project entitled Don't Stop, Volumes 1 and 2. It's a double EP, which includes some really cool collaborations with some other R&B artists that some of these listeners may be aware of. If you're an R&B fan, especially from the 80s and 90s, there's an R&B singer named Howard Hewitt from the group Shalimar, who had numerous number one singles and platinum records. Another young lady who's more of a jazz singer named Mesa Leek from the group Incognito, and a newcomer named Kenya to round out the collaborations on the project. But it's something that my brother and I have done for a long time. Our mother was actually a musician and a chef. So I guess
cool. I'm kinda,
bound to, you know, through either, just hereditary genes or just her being atop me so much on both of those things in the kitchen and on the piano and learning how to do those things. So here I am, product of my mother as falling in her footsteps. So that's the music side. I also produce music. I produce for other artists as well, write songs and produce. And that's always a fun thing that I love very much. We have a studio here at my home called the Vibe Room. We do a lot of recording and production and arrangement. Then on the marketing side, my twin brother, Kelvis, who I've just referenced, and our sister, Michelle Duffy, the three of us have a marketing company called D3 Entertainment, which stands for Duffy 3. Cool. And we, the three of us, all worked for major record companies for the greater part of the last 20 years or so in various capacities. And about 15 years ago, when the music industry started to change a little with the emergence of downloading and things of that nature, and a lot of physical record stores started to disband and go out of business, we saw a shift. And so we decided to transition our relationships and our expertise from working in the music business to take that into the film and television world, where we've been marketing in particular faith-based films. But we also just market a lot of mainstream faith and family films to the marketplace. And we've had an emphasis on taking mainstream products and marketing them in particular to the African-American sector. And what's interesting with that is that we've learned over the years that there are so many ways that the same product can be interpreted by different demographics. You know, you can look at a company like McDonald's as an example, and you can watch a commercial on a network mainstream channel, and then you can see another commercial maybe on a Hispanic network that's totally different. You can see that on a network that's geared towards African Americans that's totally different in terms of the music, the language, et cetera. And so most major brands want to reach the world. And so they have different sectors to help them engage with those particular demographics and people that understand those particular demographics and markets. And so that's what we've done, is what we continue to do. We've worked on some very well-known movies. Most recently, last year we did It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, the story
Amazing.
Of Mr. Rogers. And so we were responsible for, as an example, you know, we were responsible for taking that mainstream message and making sure that African-American marketplace was aware and understood it. And we worked with a lot of movies from a producer named Devon Franklin, who's married to the actress Megan Good. He had a movie that came out last year called, the name escapes me. As a matter of fact, it might be behind me. Let's see. No, it's not. These are some of the movies behind me that on my wall.
Yeah, awesome.
It was a movie about, it's called Breakthrough, about a kid who fell through a frozen lake in Missouri, based on a true story. And Chrissy Metz from This Is Us was starring the movie. But after he fell through, the kid fell through the lake, he was pronounced dead. His mother was a woman of faith, did not want to accept the fact that he would no longer be with us. And so what happens is he eventually comes back to life. But because of the length of time that he was unconscious, the doctor said, well, if he does come back to life, he's going to pretty much be a vegetable. None of that happened. And so it's an amazing true story. And then we did a movie a few years ago, an amazing movie called The Shack. And The Shack, which I think is back here. No, it's not. But
I've heard of the book. The book is like really popular, so but I haven't read it. Yeah.
It's based in the book, and it is absolutely amazing. Mm. Whether you're a person of faith or not, it will definitely stimulate you in so many ways.
Cool.
A beautiful story of the journey of forgiveness, which I think everyone can learn from, because oftentimes we as people become prisoners of our past by not understanding how to forgive, and not understanding that forgiveness is not for the other person, it's for us. Because when you live a life like that, and you have that harbored in your heart, it really affects and stunts your growth. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we feel like we're doing the other person some type of service by letting them know we don't forgive them, but we're really doing ourselves an injustice and not serving our whole mental capacity by freeing ourselves. And so this movie is just a beautiful example of the journey of forgiveness and what that looks like.
Awesome. One of my mentors, who is also vegan, says being human is the effing forgiveness Olympics. It is hardest things that we do. And yet I completely agree with you. You know, obviously I work with a lot of trauma survivors, and there's a lot of things that are like, we could say objectively, well, that's unforgivable. And that's, you know, it's completely not okay that this happened. And like, all of that is true. And yet, like you're saying, you're the one who's prisoner. If you don't learn how to, you know, forgive doesn't mean that you agree with it or
absolutely
any of that, but it's forgiving for your own well-being. And it's kind of funny because I have tried to work through some of that with clients in a more secular way who don't identify with any kind of spirituality.
Sure.
And it's really hard. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying someone needs to be Christian to do that, but I do think it gets into this territory of spirituality that it's really hard to just think your way out of something like that. So absolutely. I'm now going to have to check out The Shack. So
yeah. And it really just means that you love yourself enough to free yourself.
Exactly.
Love yourself enough to free yourself.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, is there anything else that you want to share about that you're working on or that you just want to share with the vegan community, the veg curious folks listening?
Well, you know, I think it's important to say that for those who maybe have never experienced vegan cuisine, contrary to popular belief, vegan food has changed a lot over the last 4, 5, 6, 7 years. And there's a lot of really innovative people out there. I believe I may be one of them that is taking vegan to the next level and offering some really amazing ways to eat plant-based food. And so, and we have found that to be true based on probably 85 or 90%, if not higher, of our patrons at Deep Sea Vegan are not vegans. They're just foodies. And so, which I think is so, you know, fascinating and awesome that people that just love to eat good food, they're like, you know, if this is vegan food, I could eat this every day. So we are definitely working to, presently we are open every other weekend at Hunter Station in East Nashville at 975 Main Street, but we are working very soon in the new year to go to every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly, after that, we're going to go into a Thursday through Sunday. And then we're looking at our first brick and mortar where we'll be 7 days a week. So we are definitely working to establish some really cool things. And, you know, down the road, our mid to long-term goals are establishing a franchise here in Nashville of at least 2 to 3 locations, and then finding some other secondary markets to grow and go into. So we're really excited about this. We feel that it's definitely one of the new things that people are interested in, which is understanding how to have better health. And in the meantime, while you're doing that, you want to enjoy the food you're eating. So, because no one wants to say, well, I'm, you know, correcting my health, but I'm not enjoying my food. You want to be able to do both. And so my goal is to give you that opportunity to do both, to increase your health and not sacrifice on taste.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I wanted to share and get out there. People can find us on social media, Instagram and Facebook at Deep Sea Vegan. Just as it sounds, Deep Sea Vegan altogether. Also deepseavegan.com. And if you go to deepseavegan.com, there's a link where you can click to our ordering page to see, to view our full menu as well as order on that website. Also with Cloud9, as I mentioned, spelled with a K, K-L-O-U-D, the number 9. We have a new single entitled 21 Days. It's available now on all digital platforms. Awesome. For streaming, for downloading. On the D3 side, we have some really cool projects that we're working on. We're actually in the process of creating our own content. Now that we've been marketing for about 15 years, we're actually going to be creating content as producers. My sister Michelle has been very passionate about bringing really positive content available to the masses. And so we have some really cool stories and ideas that we're working on and partnering with some other networks and producers to bring some really cool content to the world. So we're super excited about that.
So many good things happening. I feel like, you know, 2020 was exciting for you guys, but 2021 is going to be, it's all going to happen. That's awesome.
That's what we plan to do. You know, 2020 has been a very trying year, but I do believe it has to do with your mindset. And what I mean by that is that every time you have a positive thought, you know, like, yes, I can do this, I can do that, I can, oftentimes, you know, it's natural to have negative thoughts that say, but what if you don't? And so I always say that if we all folded to that secondary, well, what if you don't thought, then the world would be full of nothing but failures. Every person who has succeeded has been someone that has, you know, really cut through the odds. And so just as a word of encouragement, you know, while I know 2020 has not been great for a lot of people, including myself in some ways, I will say this, that anytime we are faced with adversity, you're actually faced with an opportunity. And that opportunity is to show how great you are, because you never know how great you are until you have opportunities. And just as a quick illustration of what that looks like to me, I'm a huge sports fan. I think oftentimes when a team is counted out and it's the fourth quarter and you're down by a touchdown, there's 20 seconds left. And so that represents adversity. So you can either take a knee or you can throw a Hail Mary, because you never know what's going to happen. And I think when you have a situation like that and you persevere and you win, well, those victories are sweeter than blowing someone out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's like you have to believe that there's a shot. You have to really believe it, because otherwise you're like half-assing that and you're like, and it's not going to happen. Yeah, and I so agree with you. I think sometimes it's positioned like, well, either you believe in facts or you believe in like, your mindset matters, and both can be true. They're not mutually exclusive. It's like, I can wear a mask because I pay attention to science. And I can also recognize that my mind has the power of either making me feel like 2020 has just been like the worst dumpster fire ever, or that it's been a lot of obstacles that have resulted in some really unfortunate losses, and that will result in hopefully some positive changes, and that obstacles make us all stronger. And, you know, which one do I want? I get to choose to some extent.
Sure. Yep. Yeah. And that's good. So I just, you know, for me, I really love to inspire people and encourage people. And so I also like to leave them with this, that the hardest part of any climb is near the top. And so when you feel like you just can't take another step, perhaps you're probably right there. You're probably right there at the peak.
Don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle.
Sure. Absolutely.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for being here. We'll make sure that all the links are in the show notes, and including the new song, which I'm about to go and listen to now. And I will see y'all again in 2 weeks, which will probably be when this episode is coming out. So Thank you again.
Well, Val, it's been my pleasure. And thank you for hosting me. Thank you for doing a wonderful job. And thank you for what you do in your world of profession. I appreciate the fact that you are making yourself available to make people better in every way that you can. And so I appreciate that. And I encourage you to continue doing that.
Thank you so much for listening. Connect with me on Instagram at Val the Vegan Therapist. And if you loved this episode, I would so appreciate if you shared it with a friend or on social media. And don't forget to tag me so I can thank you. See you next time. And until then, may we all continue striving for peace,
equanimity, and freedom for all beings.